We'll be looking in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, a familiar portions of Scripture, and so we can invite you to turn there, Luke chapter 1, and then we will look at a few verses in chapter 1 and chapter 2, very familiar verses, obviously, of the Christmas story, and some of them we read last week in the morning, some we read in the evening service as well. And so some familiar but blessed verses for us to consider this morning. For the most part, Christmas is a joyful time of the year. For most people, for many people, it's a very giving time of the year. It's a joyful time of the year. Of course, one songwriter said, you probably heard it on many times, as it seems like things are on the radio over and over and over again, but it's the most wonderful time of the year, some say. And some of the children who woke up this morning and got to open some presents probably are chiming saying, yes, this is the most wonderful time of the year. I got to wake up and have gifts. And for the parents who normally have to drag their children out of bed, they were dragged out of bed maybe this morning. I remember those days when I was a little fellow that I couldn't wait to get up, and back in England we didn't have a stocking, we had a pillowcase. That sounds really greedy, but we used a pillowcase, but it wasn't just the stocking. A lot of the gifts went in there, and our parents would come and put them in there at night, and it's kind of like, what time do you wake up and start opening gifts in the morning? So, you know, morning's not necessarily the brightest time for everyone, but all of a sudden today, it's very bright. But the most wonderful time of the year, many people will have been singing that song or chiming along as that song was on the radio and so on. But people exchanging gifts enjoy that. There's enjoyment found in the giving and the receiving. When you're younger, you think all the joy is in receiving. When you become a parent, you realize that there's actually a lot of giving, a lot of joy in the giving. And I love to see my children open their presents. And, you know, the older they get, I guess it's a little bit different anticipation sense. But it's still nice to see somebody open a gift that you purchased for them and enjoy it and rejoice in it. And so that giving and receiving makes it a happy time. Gatherings of friends and family. Now, sometimes those family gatherings get a little bit tense because there's always that one relationship within the family that just doesn't always seem to go exactly as planned. But for the most part, people like getting together with their family and friends, and you often hear a lot of laughs at this time of the year. People joke about Christmas's past or stories about childhood and different things like that. Memories are shared and laughs are had, and festive foods are partaken in. It's that time of the year when Aunt so-and-so brings that particular dessert or that particular main course or whatever, and people enjoy eating those things. And so it's often a enjoyable time of the year. Even merchants, of course, I heard that Friday was the largest shopping day in the history of Canada. You know, basically because it's like the day that all the men started their Christmas shopping, and so it's that time of the year. It's a lot of gifts and things are purchased on that day, and so merchants enjoy those increased sales, of course. And sadly, this has become a very commercialized time of the year in that way. But you know, not everyone enjoys this time of the year. Not everyone enjoys Christmas. For some, it can be an inconvenient time. It's a time that some are sad. The business owner that enjoys the increased sales also realizes that he has to pay some employees for time when he's going to be shut down and there's going to be money going out and nothing coming in. It's a opportunity lost for sales, perhaps, and an expensive time of the year. Remember Scrooge in the old Dickens novel that he was upset that Cratchit wanted a day off. I suppose you'll want tomorrow off, too. You know, and that can be sometimes the attitude, perhaps, of some. So it's not always an enjoyable time of the year for some. By the way, Charles Dickens said that the greatest book ever written was the New Testament. That's something, isn't it? Somebody whose novels are probably looked back on, especially this time of the year, but he said the New Testament was the greatest book ever written. Thing for us to consider. For some people, this time of the year is not enjoyable because it's lonely. They don't have family necessarily to spend that time with, and maybe they've lost a family member, or maybe something happened in the family, and it becomes a lonely time of the year, and it's not as enjoyable as it is for other people. Some feel the inconvenience of long drives to visit family and the expense of shopping. It makes it an inconvenient time of the year, and not a happy time of the year. Some find Christmas inconvenient because How can you be on a diet at Christmas time? Everyone's going to get chocolates, and there's going to be your favorite foods, and then you're supposed to be, the diet starts on January the 1st, right? Or maybe the 2nd. But it's an inconvenient time because you're tempted with those unhealthy treats and those fattening foods and so on. The truth is there are inconveniences for everyone, but the difference between whether it's enjoyed or dreaded is whether you consider the benefits to outweigh the inconveniences. Actually, the inconveniences of Christmas, though, as we call it, are nothing new. The whole season has been fraught with them since the very beginning. That's what I'd like us to consider this morning a little bit in the message. And so we'll begin looking here in Luke chapter 1, some of the verses we read last week. And, of course, become very familiar to us. But it says in verse 26, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Thou art blessed among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for this time. We thank you for this remembrance of your birth, not because of the day, specifically the date, but of the fact that you came to be our Savior. Lord, that is such a precious thing to consider this morning and to remember today. And I pray that that would rule in our hearts and lives, even amongst the other gifts and celebrations that we may have, that we would truly celebrate and rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior who loves us enough to come to this earth, to love us enough to inconvenience himself to be our Savior. And so, Lord, we pray that you bless this service and the thoughts to our hearts this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think about the inconvenience of an unplanned pregnancy. The inconvenience of an unplanned pregnancy. You think about the story here and we realize that Mary and Joseph had their lives planned. They were engaged to be married, as we call it, espoused, the Bible calls it. They were planning to get married. I'm sure that they had plans of what the future would hold. They had not yet come together. They were living separately, still at their own homes. But there was the planned marriage, but there was an unplanned pregnancy. Because the angel said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. There would be some embarrassment, no doubt, in what would take place. To become pregnant before marriage would raise many questions by family and friends. And although Mary here knew already that it was of God, and Joseph, as we find in Matthew chapter 1, was told also by Gabriel that it was of God, they knew the truth, but not necessarily everyone would believe them. Many people would say, oh yeah, sure. Of course, this is going to be God's son. Yeah, of course, an angel came to you. Right. There'd be a question in people's minds whether Mary and Joseph had broken their vow of espousal and gone a step further towards marriage. There would be some who would question Mary's faithfulness to Joseph. Has Mary been faithful to Joseph? Because Joseph is adamant that this child is not his. And there would be some potential embarrassment there as they try to field those questions and those statements. In some people's minds, you realize that those questions never left. They never went away. Some people always wondered, if they didn't believe in Jesus and who he was, they always perhaps wondered, who is this son of Mary anyway? Mary said that this was a special child, but, you know, as a result of that situation, embarrassment we may call it, loneliness may occur, as some in disbelief said, you know, we're not even going to talk to Mary and Joseph anymore. Let's just not spend time with them. Rumors and disbelief would cause embarrassment not only to Mary and Joseph, but to the family, couldn't it? It was an inconvenient time. Yes, it was a blessing. Yes, it was a great privilege to bear the Christ child, but there was also some embarrassment involved and some inconveniences. Think of the change in their plans. We said that they were espoused to get married. They had the date of their marriage probably figured out. At least Joseph's father would have known when it was. According to what we find in biblical times, it was the father of the groom that determined the final moment of the wedding. But they probably had in their mind, well, it'll be roughly around this time, and I'm going to go and live at Joseph, and I'm going to move into with Joseph, we'll get married, I'll move in with Joseph, and then we're going to, you know, in time have children, he's a carpenter, he'll have his carpenter shop, and all the plans that would have been set in their minds as to what was going to take place. But all those things were bumped up, weren't they? Because now, all of a sudden, you're going to have a child. And fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, so the marriage is bumped up, and there's going to be a child pretty much right away to start your marriage. As any parent knows, children change the dynamics of the home and the relationship. Change it, not for the worse, just changes it, doesn't it? It's an enjoyable change, but it's a change. There'd be no Mary and Joseph only time, because there was going to be a baby right from the very beginning. It began with a baby. Their living arrangements as far as home and so on may have to be different to accommodate the baby right from the very start. It was an inconvenience to their plans. This baby would ultimately cause them to have to travel out of their country and be away from their own home for periods of time. An inconvenience, no doubt, to their life and to their plan. Mary and Joseph were inconvenienced, and yet they considered the inconvenience worthwhile. If you look to what Mary said in verse 38, where we left off, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Mary said, I realize there's going to be inconveniences. Maybe she didn't realize the full extent of that at this point in time. But she was committed, and Joseph was committed, according to what we read in Matthew chapter 1. Joseph arose from sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him in Matthew 1, verse 24. And so they were willing to live with the inconvenience because they saw the bigger picture. They were committed to following God's plan for them and God's plan for the ages. And ask us this morning, are we willing to live with the inconvenience of following God's will for our life rather than our own? We may have ideas and plans and thoughts. I want to do this, this, and this, and this. And maybe God says, you know what? I'd like you to do this with your life. We may say, well, I want to spend my day doing this, and then something comes up and God has a different plan. Are we willing to be inconvenienced, as it were, by doing God's will? Realizing what Moses did when he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So there's inconvenience of an unplanned pregnancy. There was also an inconvenience of a taxing. Nobody likes to be taxed. But in chapter 2, what happens at the beginning of chapter 2? There went out a decree that all the world should be taxed. That's an inconvenient thing. It was an inconvenience of travel because everyone had to go to their place of their lineage. Everyone unto his own city, verse 3 records. Not just Mary and Joseph, but all went to their hometown to be registered. People all over Israel had to travel. Can you imagine the commotion on the roads? On those paths, those roads, you know, the donkeys going back and forth and camels and people walking and a lot of travel going on. People probably grumbling, why this stupid Roman government, look what they're doing to us, they're making us pay tax, now we have to travel, we have to go, this is inconvenient. The taxing and need to travel to Bethlehem was a big inconvenience to Mary and Joseph, and they traveled at a time when it wasn't a good time to travel. She was very expectant. The Bible tells us that she was great with child. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Some of you ladies who have children know what it means to be great with child. Because evidently she was 9 months pregnant, right? You know the discomfort of that. And you know the discomfort of travel during that. But how about travel on foot or by mule? Adds a whole different picture to it, doesn't it, for us here? Rather than being born in Nazareth, where they were surrounded by family and friends, where they had everything set up for home, they had to travel down to Bethlehem. What an inconvenience. They may have had a family doctor in Nazareth, a midwife, somebody prepared to help with the birth, but no, they had to leave that. They had to travel down to Bethlehem. Jesus was born while they were far from home. When Jennifer was born on Boxing Day, we'd been at my parents' house the day before for Christmas, and it was Christmas Day night, and we were all having a family time, and all of a sudden Carolyn says, "We got to go now. I'm not having this baby in Burlington. I'm going to have this baby at home where I know where everything is." So we traveled to Kitchener. Now it took a few more hours, but Jennifer was born in Kitchener, at the hospital in Kitchener, where Carolyn was more comfortable, ready, thinking she knew what was supposed to take place, she knew the rooms and so on better. Mary and Joseph didn't have that, did they? They were inconvenienced by the fact that the plan of God said, you're not going to have that child in Nazareth where you're comfortable, where home is. You're going to have that child in a place called Bethlehem. Not only that, but Jesus was not even born in the inn or the comfort of a home, but seemingly because he was laid in a manger, he was born in what we might refer to as a stable. Some have surmised it was probably a cave where animals were boarded for the night as the rest of the people were in the inn. How would you like that for a place to bear a child? Inconvenient, isn't it? Inconvenient not to have the luxuries of a comfortable place to give birth. And rather than being placed in a cot, Mary had a place to lay Jesus. It was a cattle feeding trough, a manger. There's no doubt many were upset by the inconveniences associated with the taxing, but there was a purpose behind it, because God had said that it would be in Bethlehem that Jesus would be born. Mary and Joseph were inconvenienced by not only the unplanned pregnancy, but by the trip. But you realize a lot of other people were inconvenienced by that whole taxing. But it resulted in the fulfillment of Scripture. You know, it isn't always convenient to live the Christian life by the Word of God. It sometimes brings with it hard choices. It did that day, didn't it? God's plan was that His Word would be fulfilled, and it always is. Are we willing to be inconvenienced in order to live out the Word of God in our lives? It was the inconvenience of following a star, and we know in Matthew chapter 2, there's the story of the wise man who came from the east. And they saw his star, and they traveled a long way. How many times we picture the wise men gathered around the manger. According to Scripture, that's not exactly how it panned out, because the Bible says that Jesus was in a house and that Herod had all the children 2 years old and under killed. So probably Jesus was probably about 2 years old by the time the wise men showed on the scene. But that being the case anyways, the inconvenience of following that star from the east, these wise men began following the star. It seemed, seemingly, it took in the neighborhood of 2 years to see the star, realize the significance of it, and get to where Jesus was born. It's quite a long time, isn't it? That means there's a long journey involved in that. Not on an airplane, not in a car, but perhaps by camel, perhaps by donkey, perhaps by foot, perhaps chariot. Who knows exactly? The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how they traveled. But some have suggested they traveled 1,000 miles. That's a long way with those means of transportation. Their journey was made more difficult because when they got to where they figured that people would know exactly what was going on, Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, and the place where the king was of Israel was, and so on, even though they were ruled by the Romans, of course, and a little bit of a puppet king, we would say, but still, the wise men thought, well, here we are, we're in Jerusalem, they'll know exactly where the king of the Jews is. And who did they meet? Herod, one of the most irrational, uncooperative people of the day. And they say, where is he that has been born king of the Jews? He says, what? King of the Jews? I'm the king around here. Can you imagine traveling all that way and then they get there and the king has no idea what they're talking about? Did we make a mistake? What was that star? I'm sure that star was telling us about this and we've heard that this was supposed to take place in Israel. You ever traveled a long way and got to the general vicinity of where you're going and you stopped to ask someone for directions for the, you know, what should be the last little bit? And they have no idea what you're talking about. It's usually because you're asking another tourist. But, you know, sometimes it's somebody who is there and they just have no idea. Well, I don't know. That's kind of how those wise men must have felt that day. The wise men were inconvenienced in their travel. They're also inconvenienced, we might say, although seemingly they did it willingly. But to bring the gifts that they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they didn't just say, well, we'll just show up and see what's going on here. No, they brought gifts that were fit for a king, expensive gifts. Some call these wise men kings, and the songwriter says, we three kings, but the Bible just calls them wise men or men traveling from the east. We don't know how wealthy they were. They may have had to sacrifice greatly to buy these gifts for the Lord. They sacrificed their time, maybe a year or two of travel. They sacrificed their resources, perhaps even their reputation as they traveled. And people said, where are you going? We're going to Israel because this king of the Jews has been born. What? We haven't heard anything about that. Are you crazy? But they sacrificed, they inconvenienced themselves to follow the star because they recognized that God was using that star as a sign in the heavens to point to the very significant occasion of the coming of the Messiah. They were willing to do it because they recognized who Jesus was. You know, you don't mind inconvenience if you know the end of it is worthwhile. If you have to inconvenience yourself, but you realize that there's a purpose behind it that is a worthwhile purpose, you don't mind so much. These men who traveled, however many of them there were, at least two, maybe three, maybe more, they traveled and they said, it's worth the inconvenience because if there's something significant, God says there's something significant enough to give a special star, there's a king to worship at the end, who God has brought into this world. Are we willing to be inconvenienced for Jesus because we recognize that He is worthy? The song around the throne is, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Romans 12:1 says that it is our reasonable service to give ourselves a living sacrifice for Him. To be inconvenienced for Him is worthwhile. Why? Because He's done so much for us. So there was an inconvenience of an unplanned pregnancy. There was an inconvenience of a taxing. There was an inconvenience of following a star. But let's get to the greatest inconvenience this morning. And in closing, we'll turn to Philippians chapter 2. And we'll see, as we've read in John chapter 1 already, that there was the inconvenience of the Word becoming flesh. Who was that inconvenient for? Was that inconvenient for mankind. No, that was an inconvenience for the Lord himself. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8. Yes, there was an inconvenience to Mary and Joseph, but they were willing to endure it because they were committed to God's will and God's purpose. They saw the bigger picture. There was an inconvenience to Mary and Joseph in the known world because it was a taxing, and they were willing to endure it because it fulfilled the Word of God. There was an inconvenience to the wise men in following the star, but they were willing to endure it because they recognized who He was. But the greatest inconvenience was not for man at all. The greatest inconvenience was for the Lord Himself. And no inconvenience could match what He did for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Do we realize the greatest inconvenience this morning? We celebrate today, we celebrate Jesus came, Jesus, that baby born in Bethlehem. But do we realize the inconvenience behind that birth? That being in the form of God, being God Himself, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation. That doesn't say He made Himself of a lesser reputation. It says He made Himself of no reputation. And He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. How could He humble Himself more than being made in the fashion of a man, His creation? By dying for that creation, those people. See, His inconvenience lasted not just a few hours or a few months, but 33 years, as He lived upon this earth for 33 years. His inconvenience didn't just cost Him a little bit of embarrassment. No, He made Himself of no reputation. Isn't that what embarrassment is about? Is about feeling, uh-oh, what about my reputation? Jesus made Himself of no reputation. His inconvenience brought great loneliness to the one who made heaven and earth, the one whom heaven and earth adored. But He was called the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. The Bible says in the prophecy from Isaiah, we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. People shied away from Him. They turned away from Him. Despised and rejected of men. His inconvenience cost Him His very life. And in that time of the greatest need, humanly speaking, what did those closest to Him did? See ya, we're out of here. They forsook Him and fled. Why? Why was He willing to go to such great lengths? Why was God willing to inconvenience Himself? When you have a moment, not in the service, take your phone out and put it to the selfie screen and see who's shining back at your face there. That's why Jesus did it. Take a look in the mirror and see who's there. That's why Jesus inconvenienced Himself for us. You see, He was committed to the Father's will. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Like Mary and Joseph were committed to the Father's will. He did it to fulfill His word from Genesis chapter 3 right on through. The Son of Man will come. He did it because He recognized the value of mankind. Just like those wise men said, it's worth it to be inconvenienced because at the end of the journey we're going to see the King. But Jesus said, it's worth it to do this because mankind, every soul is worth more than the whole world. He did it because of His love for you and for me. You know, the thing that we learn when people inconvenience themselves for us is that they care. Isn't that what it's all about? If somebody stops to help you, you're stuck at the side of the road and they stop to help you and they're a stranger, but they stop to help you change your tire or drive you to the end of town or help you get gas, whatever. You say, wow, that was so nice of them to take time out of their schedule because they cared enough about me. Isn't that what it's about when you see somebody give a gift and you know perhaps the gift that they gave you is, took sacrifice on their behalf, but they gave it and they say, wow, that means a lot to me. They inconvenienced themselves because they love me and they care about me. And so it is with our Lord. He loves us and cares for us more than we'll ever know. And that's why, being in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We said at the beginning that Christmas comes with its inconveniences, and yet for most of us we say it's still a wonderful time of the year. This Christmas, if the inconveniences are taking the joy out of your celebration, stop and think about the inconveniences that were overcome to make it possible for Jesus to come to this earth. Remember, it's worth being inconvenienced for the Lord's will. It's worth being inconvenienced to fulfill His word. It's worth being inconvenienced because He is worthy. But remember especially today the inconvenience of our Savior for us. Why? Because He loves us. And when you dwell upon that and you think about that, then that'll say, Lord, I love you. No wonder John said, we love Him because He first loved us. The inconveniences of Christmas. Let's pray together.